invite you to open your New Testament to the book of 1 John chapter 1. Our study will begin there today. In just a few minutes, we'll be reading from those verses, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. We are indeed blessed with a house full of visitors, and we are very delighted to have you. I would like to recommend to you a wonderful, loving, caring family here. And don't take my word for it. I encourage you to stay around and get to know us. But we have a wonderful family. And our goal is, to glorify and honor God. We believe that the Bible is God's Word. And we believe that the New Testament has revealed a pattern for what we should do individually as well as collectively. And we recognize that the only way that we can truly honor Him is by following the pattern that He has given to us to follow. And we appreciate you being with us. But we trust today that our most honored guest is God Himself, the Father, our Creator and Maker, His Son Jesus, who died for us, and the Spirit who graciously revealed His Word to us. And it's a joy to be able to come in His presence and to have this communion and to fellowship one another, but most of all, to come and to lift our hearts in worship to Him who gave Himself for us. I want to begin reading in the book of 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to read these verses together. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." What a way to begin a letter. It seems that John, like most of the New Testament letters, skips all the personal greetings and salutations. And he begins very abruptly, somewhat like the book of Hebrews, by just sort of immediately getting to the point that he is making in this great letter. That is, he wants to focus upon Jesus. He calls it the beginning. I think he has in mind the time in which God was manifested in the world when Jesus came to the world. That is, he begins with the very life of Jesus. And very abruptly, he begins to tell us of the impact that Jesus ought to have upon those who are reading this great letter. Notice first of all that John says, "We bear witness." He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." John says, when Jesus made this appearance, when God came into the world, we were there. We heard Him. We saw Him. He says we have handled Him and we have looked upon Him. The idea of looking upon is not a casual matter. Actually, the phrase suggests the idea of looking intently, of thoroughly examining. And John says for 3 years, God was in our presence. This very life was in our presence, and we looked upon Him with awe and reverence and wonder. We were eyewitnesses of Him. How can we be sure about Jesus and of what we read about Him? John assures us that he was an eyewitness to this life. In fact, if you hold your place there in the book, in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, in Luke chapter 24, there is one of my favorite passages in all the New Testament, in one of my favorite books in all the New Testament. It was after the resurrection of Jesus. And beginning in verse 36, it says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. But while they were still did not believe for joy and marveled, He said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And He took it and ate it in their presence. And He said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm concerning me.' And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And then He said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.'" In the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, we find that Peter, at the household of Cornelius, in a very precise and succinct fashion, described the life of Jesus. He begins in verse 38, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where Peter says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead." Thus John begins his epistle by saying, "We saw Him." Christianity relies upon the testimony of these men. The New Testament is not only sealed by the blood of Jesus, but it is also sealed by the blood of those very men who were eyewitnesses of Him. And thus Peter could say, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him glorify God in this matter. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Because they really believe. But not only that, but John says He was the very revelation of God. He is the Word of life. He is the Logos. He is the very revelation of the very essence of God. And we saw Him. He is that eternal life, and we were eyewitnesses. And furthermore, He tells us not only that, but He tells us what He offers. John begins by telling us why he's writing this letter. He says, "These things we write to you, that your joy also may be full. We declare these things so that you also might have fellowship with Him, and that your joy also may be full." Because here is the one who offers eternal life. Here is the one who offers forgiveness of sins and redemption from sin and the promise of eternal life. John begins by telling us this Jesus who was God came offering joy and forgiveness. So what does He offer? What does He promise? What kind of impact has He had upon your life? Well, first of all, John tells us in this text that Jesus tells us about God. He says in verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." First of all, Jesus tells us what God is like. That God is light, and in Him, He says, is no darkness at all. In John chapter 1, verse 18, John says in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Jesus was the very declaration of God in the flesh. And the message, He says, we have heard from Him is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That is, God has no ulterior motives. That God is the ultimate and the essence of holiness and purity and enlightenment. That God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus teaches us that God is a loving Father. That He seeks only our good. That He desires only our good. That He wants to save us. That we can trust Him. That He always keeps His promise. And He is always, whatever He does, whether it's commandment or His providence, always does what is for our own good. But furthermore, we notice that Jesus not only tells us about God, but John says that Jesus brings confidence. In a world of uncertainty, our Lord brings hope and certainty and foundation. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John tells us here that Jesus came into the world to offer forgiveness of sins. He says, I write these things that your joy may be full. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. God came into the world to save us and redeem us. And the great promise of Jesus is that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We can be absolutely confident of our salvation. John says in 1 John 2 and verse 3, we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. God has made all the provisions that we might have the assurance of redemption and salvation. God wants us to have that assurance. He doesn't want us to worry and to fret about our redemption and to worry and fret about our salvation. He wants us to know and understand that there is a balance between concern of whether or not we're right with God and the assurance that we ought to have because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Thus, Jesus comes bringing impact in our life. He tells us what God is like. And He brings the confidence, brings to us confidence that in Him there is redemption. That His blood was shed that we might have that forgiveness. Furthermore, He reveals to us the painful truth. There are three verses here to consider. In verse 6, first of all, He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say one thing, but then do another. He says we lie and do not practice the truth. Oftentimes, we don't want to admit our wrong. And there are some who presumptuously say, while living in sin, I have fellowship with God. John says, if we say we have fellowship, but we continue to practice sin and error, then we lie and do not practice the truth. Thus, we need to learn to confess. We need to be humble before God and to recognize our sin. Furthermore, he adds in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
And finally, in verses 9 and 10, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You know one of the most difficult things to do? Admit you're wrong. I know that, unfortunately. But John says there is the reality of sin. If we say we have no sin, we are lying. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. The reality is that when our lives are exposed to the light, then we begin to recognize our own shortcomings. You know, the Hebrew writer points to that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I think the passage that Brian referred to in his class. When the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's why we need to be connecting with God often. That's why I encourage daily Bible reading, daily prayer and devotion. Because when I open this book, it's kind of like a mirror. It's kind of like when George goes to the mirror early in the morning and the hair is all messed up. And I begin to recognize all the flaws and all the blemishes. God's Word begins to shed light on my life. And I begin to recognize all the changes that I need to make in my life. In John chapter 3, Jesus makes an interesting observation about the character of some. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, John 3 and verses 19 beginning. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Question, what kind of heart do you have? Willing to admit you're wrong? Are you willing to allow your life to be open and exposed to the light of God's Word? Over in Psalm 139, the way that David ends this psalm is in verses 23 and 24. And it ought to be the very spirit and attitude of every one of us. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's what Jesus does. Jesus reminds us of the painful truth that every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes that's tough to admit I'm wrong. And then He offers this promise. In the middle of these verses, in verse 9, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is joy in going before God and saying, "You know what? I'm sorry, Father. But I broke your promise. I broke a trust. I've sinned against you." There's blessing that comes from that. There is the assurance that God is willing to forgive. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 32, one of the great psalms of confession is the Psalm of David, the 32nd Psalm. And he makes an observation about the benefits of such confession. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Sometimes we're very hesitant to admit our wrong. But it becomes, that David said, a very painful experience. But when I finally acknowledge, I can have the joy of knowing that God is willing to forgive. God has made all of this possible because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus came to have an impact in our life. Jesus came to offer us a fresh start. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin." John doesn't want them to take sin frivolously. Not to say, well, you know, the blood of Christ cleanses me, so I can go do what I want to do. No, that's not the point. He says, I'm writing these things so to you so that ideally you can strive not to sin. But then he adds this, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our only, but also for the whole world." That is, that Jesus and His blood was offered as an appeasement of God's wrath. That's what a propitiation is. I remember the first time that I really, really remembered or really understood what John is really saying here. I want to admit I had been a Christian for quite a while. In fact, I want to admit that I had been preaching for a couple of years. When it really came home to me exactly what John is saying here, that Jesus offers the child of God a fresh start, that if there is this appreciation of His grace and His mercy, it compels me to do better. You know, there is another passage that is similar to that. Over in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the grace of God in Titus the second chapter, and beginning with verse 11. In Titus 2 and 11, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." The grace of God compels me to live in that way. "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works." John says, "I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin, but if you sin," he says, "we have an advocate." You see, the joy is that I can begin every day anew. Slate clean. Fresh with God. New with God. Not an alibi to sin. But John reminds me of how much Christ loves me. He reminds me of the enormity of His sacrifice. He reminds me of the guarantee that He offers. What a difference He makes in our life. What about you? Does He really make a difference in your life? Has He had an impact upon your life? Is He real to you? Do you enjoy the confidence that He brings? Are you willing to face the painful truth of your own sin? Are you willing to accept the fresh start that He offers? Where are you today? Only you know. That's between you and God. But if there's someone here today that we can assist, maybe it is today that you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If that be your need, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. Or if there's something else that we can do to assist you in your spiritual life, we will welcome that opportunity as well. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected. Would you come?